This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
It's almost 2 weeks now since the container ship Rena ran aground off the east coast of New Zealand, leaking hundreds of tons of oil into the ocean, which has washed up on Bay of Plenty beaches. Now, there's even been concerns the ship could break up altogether and spill its entire load into the sea. To give us an update on the situation, I'm joined by Alan Lee. He's the Director of News and Current Affairs from the Rema Broadcasting Group. Hi, Alan.
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad. Is there still this concern around that the ship could actually break up, or is that sort of past now?
No, that's a very real concern. At the moment, what's happened is the outer hull of the ship has actually cracked right round, so you can see the crack where the front half and the back half have split. So basically, what's holding the ship together is now the internal structures of the boat. So you've got like the walls and the bulkheads internally are what's holding the front half onto the back half.
That doesn't sound good.
No, it's not good. And of course, I mean, we've had some calm days, but we've had a few rough days as well. And so when you've got a 4 meter swell coming in and bashing the boat, it puts extra stress on it. And so they're very concerned. It's really a race against time. I spoke to the salvors yesterday. It's a company called Switzer Australasia. I spoke to them yesterday, and they were saying that what they have to try to do is strengthen the oil tanks, which have got this horrible, gloopy, black gunge in them, so that if the boat does break up, they don't release all their oil at once. So they've strengthened it, and they're hoping that will be enough to keep the oil from gushing out if the boat does break up and sink to the bottom of the ocean. But the guy I spoke to yesterday said it is probably one of the hardest jobs that they've ever had to do anywhere in the world. And they're one of the most experienced salvors in the world.
Yeah.
So it's a real battle there.
And what are some of the environmental impacts of this spill already? I understand there are rare birds in that area of the Bay of Plenty.
Well, it's a beautiful area. It's for people who know the region. It starts at Mount Maunganui in Tauranga, which is at the top end, and then it sweeps round through Papamoa, past Makatu, and then down towards Whakatane, which is at the southern end of it. And it's beautiful white sand beaches backed by sand dunes and grasses. Mm. And Makatu is where the wetlands are, where some very rare species, including New Zealand dockerel and some rare terns as well. They are breeding at the moment, and they feed at sea during that. And of course, the concern is that they're going out to sea, coming into the water to fish, and then coming out covered in oil. Of course, that then affects their young, which are back at the nest, and you know the parent birds don't come back.
It sounds disastrous, Alan.
Oh, the potential for disaster is huge. I spoke to New Zealand Forest and Bird, which is one of the big environmental organisations here, and their concern is that it could actually move species such as fairy terns, which are already heavily endangered. It could actually move them to the brink of extinction because it's such an important breeding area for them. So they're very concerned, and there have been literally thousands of people on the beaches trying to clear the oil up so it's at least not there. And that's why they're working so hard to try and get the oil off the boat before it breaks out.
Yeah. What's, I guess, the reaction been to the government's response to all this? I mean, I understand there's been a bit of criticism about the response.
Yes. I mean, it's quite interesting. It's actually 14 days now since the boat crashed into the reef. And it took nearly 7 days, really, before things really started happening. Probably three or four before that there was any sort of major operation going on. And there was some criticism saying, well, look, you know, the boat crashed into the reef. You didn't take a rocket scientist to work out this wasn't going to be good. Why did it take so long? Although apparently, by world standards, the cleanup operation and the salvage operation, which was put in place, has gone remarkably quickly and was actually, it's one of the fastest responses ever in the world. But I think, of course, I mean, that's with your rational head on. When you're looking at it emotionally and you see this horrible black gunk It has the consistency of Vegemite. Because it's real, it's low-grade oil, which they heat to around 60 degrees to make it fluid so that they can use it in the engine. Of course, it's not at 60 degrees because it's not being heated. It's at 12 degrees because it's under the water, under the water line. And so it's thick and heavy. And so, you know, you see this horrible black gunk coming onto those beautiful beaches. And of course you're angry. We're all angry because you think this wasn't necessary. This could have been avoided. And so that there's both an emotional and a rational reaction.
Yeah. And I think also just your gut reaction is we've had so many of these oil disasters. Why don't we know what to do with them yet? Why, you know, why is it still so hard? Why is it always such a, you know, such a mess? But anyway.
Well, no, sorry, I mean, you look at what happened in the Gulf of Mexico last year and those awful pictures of that oil gushing out under the water. And you think surely every government in the world has looked at that and thought, I just make sure that my plans are in place.
Yes, exactly. And the captain of the ship is actually facing charges in court. What's that about?
Yeah, he's been charged under our Maritime Offences Act, effectively for handling his ship in a dangerous manner. Now, it's obviously sub judice, so who knows what will come out, but both he and one of his senior officers have been charged. The GPS evidence seems to show that the boat came to the point where it could see the radar beacon at the entrance to Polonga Harbour. And normally they keep steaming north and then turn into the harbour at 90 degrees. But for some reason, they decided to cut the corner off and go straight for the beacon. And that was where they hit the reef. Mm. I guess all this evidence will come out, but I know that the shipping companies say he was a very experienced captain. But as far as, you know, as fault is concerned, of course, someone is going to have to be charged. And as the captain, he's the senior person, and so he's the one who's in the dock.
Mm, exactly. Well, thank you so much, Alan, for filling us in on all this. I do hope that disaster is averted. It sounds pretty awful
We're watching it at this very moment. You know, we're obviously in touch with it every day. Mm. They're hoping that they can restart pumping the oil today. They've not been able to pump any out since Monday night because of the swells, but it was a bit wet, the sun is coming out and it does seem to be a bit calmer. So they're putting all the tugs in place and hoping that they'll start pumping fairly soon.
Mm, that's good. Okay, well, thanks for giving us an update today, Alan.
Okay, it's a pleasure. It's lovely to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's Alan Lee. He's the Director of News and Current Affairs with the Rema Broadcasting Group, and we've been talking about the container ship Rena, which ran aground off the east coast of New Zealand.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.